Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plane Stalkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I am your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my faithful sidekick, elf, warrior, planeswalker type person, Aramis Perez. Aramis Perez, how are you tonight, sir?
I think you got the name wrong. It's the Elk Talker Elkcast, sponsored by Elks.
Oh, yeah, the Elk, yeah, just all Elks all the time. It's like, and here's the thing. I'm more of a, I consider myself more of a Rotarian than an elk.
But, nope, you know, you're an elk. We're all elks.
I don't want to be an elk.
One of us.
The Rotarians were more fun, man.
Elk.
Like, I was in Interact in high school and stuff, man. If I was going to be anything, I'd be in Rotarian.
And so. You're an elk.
Yeah, so, well, welcome to the show tonight. Let's get things going here. Okay, so in the untap phase, as we always do, it's customary. I'm going to open a brand new type of beer. I have a Blue Moon Honey Wheat tonight. And basically, I'm just drinking the beer left over from the wedding. So, woohoo.
I'm having a...
Somebody said they like Blue Moon, so we bought a 12 of it. And he drank, I think, two. And then he was drinking all the beer out of my keg. So, whatever. But Honey Wheat?
Yeah, Sprite Zero.
Not horrible. Ooh, it's got a little bit of a, it's got a little bit of a kick in the back end. Anyway, moving on. So what we're going to be talking about tonight is obviously we're going to go over the state of the meta.
There's a meta?
Yeah, there's been some changes ever since Field of the Dead went out.
The king is dead, long live the king.
Yeah, right. So we have some changes there. We had an MCQ over the weekend. We can talk about the results of that. I mean, this is all going to flow together, folks. We're going to go into combat tonight. We're going to have a very interesting combat where I'm not sure if we'll have one. But it'll be an interesting thought anyway. And then in a main two phase, we're going to talk about Arena and the Brawl this week, what we played, what decks worked, what didn't. And then we're going to also go ahead, and I know it's not standard, but I'm sorry. I just love the Pioneer thing. And I'm just as excited as everybody else. And I'm almost tempted to be like, if anyone out there wants to start a Pioneer podcast, Planestalkers Pioneer podcast, I'm on board. We will... You can do it yourselves. We'll share you out and make a whole network out of this thing. Oh, look at you. You can do two podcasts in a week?
We can always, you know, add Pioneer to this one. I mean, there's no reason to...
Yeah, but no, I love the standard, man. It's, you know, some people may not play Pioneer. I don't know. We'll talk about it off air. That's an off air discussion, but we're definitely going to be talking about that. But right now, you know, let's, we're in our untap phase where we kind of do stuff. So this weekend, you and I are going to Kerwin's again, right? I'm taking the club, and are you showing up?
Should be there, barring any, you know, random emergency. I should be there.
Wonderful. So, what the hell are you playing?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it'll get turned into an elk.
I gotta wonder how much of Oko is there. I mean, I'm sorry, a $45 card.
Did you say 45? I'm sorry, he's 55.
Is he back to 55? He was 49 this morning when I checked.
50-something, I'm sure. I can always double check. But yeah, he's up there.
So, I mean, it's definitely a... I think he's going to go down in value the more prevalent he becomes, because at the end of the day, everybody's going to start expecting the Banhammer.
Yeah, 55-23. But
I have no idea what I'm going to play this weekend. I'm either probably going to play Gruul, because it's got a pretty good match against it. If I can draw right, I've got a mono red, and I've got a gate deck, which actually hasn't been horrible. Like, I threw Golos in, it gets a little crazy. I threw a Fires of Invention in just for...
I mean,
for,
I will say so far, I mean, this is, as of the last time I was there 2 weeks ago, I haven't seen too many Okos. I saw one deck that played Oko. Good. So, but then again, that was before the ban, so...
It's a $45 card. I'm not sure how many people are going to be playing that, but I'm going to try. I've got my deck figured out, but we're going to be there Friday night. So next week, we'll obviously be talking about our results from that. I'm bringing the club guys, and the club guys are all nervous about, like, well, what are we playing? I'm like, you guys got to build your own standard decks, guys. I'm sorry. I don't have challenger decks for you anymore. Like, they all rotated out. Yep. You're on your own.
You got to figure it out.
So, and I mean, they are, and it's going to be cool. We're looking at probably bringing a full crew.
Okay.
I may be getting the 10 passenger. Like, the Magic Club where I work has become pretty large, like 9, 10, 12
nice.
People. Oh, yeah. Well, they made it a class. Like, they get credit for this.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. They're calling it for reading and math. So, well, I'm like,
you know what?
Score.
Awesome related segue. I was talking to my son, and he's starting to learn how to read. And I told him, you know, this game helps.
Isn't he like 12? No, I'm kidding.
You know what? I'll blink and he will be. But
I know, I'm just
I, you know, I, it's like this will help with your reading, this will help with numbers and math, and you know, he seems some, you know, he still seems sort of, he's interested, but still mostly the, oh look, these pictures match, but you know, he's starting to learn how to read, so I'm like, this will really help him, so I'm hoping to soon.
It will. Well, it's kind of funny too, because we did play this weekend, my wife and the kid and I, and you know, the girl wants no part of this. But me, Matthew, and Isabel, or Wendy, nerds. Played. Well, dude, it's kind of funny because I built the gate deck because I was playing, I tended to play either my Gruul deck or my Field of the Dead deck or my Fires deck. Mm-hmm. And they were just getting annoyed because they did their own little builds of, you know, a mono green and a mono white, and I'm just rolling them. So I built the gate deck to kind of like soften it a little bit.
Yeah, you roll against your family with tournament decks. Come on, dude.
The gate deck just crushed. Wendy put a picture up. I at one point was up 88 it was the angel. I kept bouncing the angel, actually. I'm like, and then I'm playing Fae of Wishes, so I'm going and grabbing Oko out of the sideboard like, haha, screw you.
Give them a chance.
So yeah, that was a lot of fun. She was a little annoyed. Matthew was a little annoyed. Matthew started like, I want to play one of your decks. So I ended up playing my Gruul deck, or I let him play my Gruul deck, and I played my mono red, or he played my mono red, I played my Gruul, or no, yeah, I played Gruul and then I rolled him. So then I played Wendy's mono white and I still rolled him. So I'm like, okay, it's not the decks, you just need to learn to play better. But yeah, and so that was my weekend. So you know, it's exciting and a lot of magic and a lot of stuff, but we should probably just get right into main phase because people don't want to hear about my kid, I'm sure. So
main phase.
Or maybe you do, but even still. So main phase. So we wanted to go over tonight. I mean, it's been 1 week since you looked at me, dropped your eyes and said I'm crazy. Oh, wait, no, wrong one. It's been a week since the Field of the Dead came out, or the band came out, and this weekend was the first full weekend where it had to be completely out of your sets. So we saw an MCQ this weekend, and I think our worst fears came to be. Oko is here and he is the king and he is owning the world. Mm-hmm. And whether it is a Bant ramp or Simic ramp or even Bant food or Simic food, Oko is no joke.
Mm-hmm. No, there's even a Sultai list that's out there too.
Well, that's the Sultai walkers. We were going to talk about that too. Like, people are playing a Sultai Super Friends deck. And it's all good. Like, there's no bad, really. It just, the problem is, I mean, and we've beat this horse to death with Oko. I mean, you know, yes, he's a 3-drop planeswalker. Yes, he comes in at 4. You get him to 6 on the first upkeep, obviously. You can get him out on turn 2 with either Gilded Goose or Arboreal Grazer. I mean, there are many ways to cheat him out of the field in 2 turns. And once he's on the field, he's really hard to get rid of that early in the game. Because of the high loyalty, which is the problem now. And I mean, I'm involved in a bunch of different groups on Facebook, and you know, you've got these jerks who are like, how dare you be salty about this, you were all salty about Teferi and da, 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 da. I'm like, listen, I never said Teferi should have been banned. There were many ways to deal with him. He was, you know, but he was a fun card to play and he was an interactive card. Oko's not fun.
Well, I mean, and
he's fun for me if I play
and
him.
And the other difference, too, is that there's literally no way to cheat out Big Teferi. He's 5 mana. You're playing him on turn 5.
Right. Well, we had ways.
I mean, but like 9 times out of 10. I mean, for the most part, when you're playing Big Teferi, you're playing him fair. When you're playing Oko, you're like, hey, ramp? It's green. Shrug. You lose. Sorry. I mean, like, even Little Teferi's 3 mana, and he, you know, he dominates the game once he shows up, but... Oko's a different beast.
Not every game.
No, that's the thing. He's extremely powerful. He warps the way the game is played because he obviously changes the basic rules of the game with not being able to play instants if you're the opponent. But
right,
he can be dealt with because, you know, he starts at 4. He only ticks up to once, you know, and like half the time they're going to tick him down anyway to bounce something and draw a card. But with Oko, I mean, wow, but they messed up bad.
It does seem like a bad design flaw. It seems like he's full of design flaws. The problem that is really with him is that I think the cheap cost and the plus two, no minus ability until he gets to his ultimate. And again, I'm not salty here, and it's not about the price tag. No, I don't have a Teferi, I have one Oko that I've opened, because I am not going to spend $50 on one card for standard. I know it's he's playing modern, I know it's he's playing vintage, it'll definitely see play in Pioneer, but it's still not worth it to me yet to put that in, especially because I think if the Banhammer does come down and they nerf that deck, whether they ban him or not, like, the price tag on Oko is going to become far more reasonable. He'll go down to the $30 range probably relatively. And then you know, you're like, eh.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see, because, like, you know, we're talking about the standard MCQ, but he's also got a gigantic presence in Modern and in Legacy. In the Modern Open this past weekend from Star City Games, there were 19 copies of him in the top 8.
Exactly.
That's a ton. And then he was he's a critical sideboard card in a bunch of really powerful Legacy decks. I'm pretty sure he sees play in... I wouldn't be shocked if he saw play in Vintage.
And that's just it. He's a warping card. And, you know, I mean, you just have to look at... And, you know, what I'll do is I'll probably just throw it up on the screen here. So if you go to MTG Goldfish, they have a thing where... they talk about the Mythic Championship results and this weekend. And it's pretty damning. It's, you know...
So Simic, Sultai, Sultai, Simic.
It's, yeah, Simic, it's basically... Sultai, Sultai. It's just a whole lot of craziness.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
It looks like the top 10... I mean, there was one... Oh, dear. That's a whole lot of me. Okay, so obviously there was one... In the top 10, there was only one that was not a ramp deck, and it was a Jund Adventures, which is actually a pretty fun deck. But everything else was Bant ramp. They were all playing Oko, Goose, Once Upon a Time, Paradise Druid, and Nissa. And then most of them were playing Hydroid Crises, while some were playing the Wicked
Wolf. Yeah, you see, and you're looking at that list. It's the top 10 cards played, I think, at that tournament. Number 9, Noxious Grasp, is being played in the main board of a bunch of decks. Some of the decks playing Oko are playing Noxious Grasp in their main boards, the Sultai lists, to fight against Oko. And it's crazy. I mean, it's going to get to the point where people are going to start main decking Veil of Summer to fight Noxious Grasp, which fights Oko, which is just crazy. I mean, they're main boarding sideboard hate, and they're still losing.
Yeah. And that's just it. I think what a lot of people are finding is that, you know, and your wife is saying hello. I'm surprised my wife hasn't yet. but the fact is, I mean, that the whole deck is, you know, it is a bit overpowering. Now, that yes, and like I was saying before, I mean, I'm on these Facebook groups where guys are like, I understand why everybody's being all on Oko, and, you know, there's hate in there, Noxious Grasp, and this, and they'll put up a list of cards that beat it. The list of cards that beat it is almost all green or black. So my problem with Oko, and I think I said this last week, is that he is meta warping. He is standard warping in that I like to play mono red. I can't play mono red.
Nope.
Mono red is, if I'm playing mono red and somebody drops an Oko turn two, I'm like, well, shit.
Yeah, because you figure, all right, him turning your creatures into elks actually sometimes helps you because it makes your guys bigger. But he's pooping out of food every turn, which is 3 life, which is that much more damage you have to deal, which unless you...
That's what I mean. Yeah. It's all about the life gain.
If you're drawing... And unless you draw multiple Cavalcades, you're like, well, this game's going to go on forever.
And I don't really play the Cavalcade Mono Red. I mean, I'm going to probably start working that in. But I've been playing more along the line of the... really, the Torbren. Like, my goal's been getting to 4 to cast Torbren.
Yeah, you're already dead.
Yeah. And by turn 4, I'm out. I'm done. Because not only that, I cast Torbren... What do you think he's going to turn into an elk?
Mm-hmm.
And there goes my win count.
Yeah, and then heaven forbid you get him down low enough on life, if he's not popping food, to be like, Hydroid Crisis for 10.
And even Cavalcade does you no good. Because what he does is, and what you do is, and I know because I've been playing this on Arena, leave me alone, don't judge, is that, okay, so you have a Cavalcade deck, and I'm playing Oko. Guess what? Your creatures are all 3-3. good luck using Cavalcade.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I...
It shuts Cavalcade off.
And he's, like, granted, he's upgrading your creatures, making them 3/3s, but at the same time, he's like...
He's got blockers.
Who cares?
Yeah, the whole point of the Cavalcade is that it's unblockable
damage.
He's
like, block with Questing Beast?
Yeah. Well, Questing Beast is not seeing... People are kind of coming down on Questing Beast, which I kind of thought was going to happen. I think that is a direct result of the Field of the Dead. I think Questing Beast was a response to the Field of the Dead.
Well, it's also because Oko turns him into an elk.
Right. Well, no, it's just Oko... I mean, in the Questing Beast decks, yeah. I mean, in the Oko decks, you were playing Questing Beast for a while. And I think people are switching more towards the Wicked Wolf because of the food.
Mm-hmm.
Questing Beast doesn't do as much because you're not really, you don't care about Death Touch as much because you're turning things into 3/3 elks anyway.
Yeah.
And you're going to, you know, you're going to hit them no matter what. Yeah. It is a bit disconcerting. And I think this is bad for Wizards. Wizards has to do something here. You had a great standard season last year. Mm-hmm. And now here you are.
It's like it never happened. Know,
it's like it never happened. Nobody remembers the great the mono blue tempo that Autumn was playing and then leading up into Esper for a little bit and then leading into mono red again.
Sultai,
and leading
Sultai mid-range.
Sultai mid-range. All these great decks you could play that were really, really good. Mm-hmm. And even when Core 20 happened and, you know, everybody was talking about Scapeshift Field of the Dead, it didn't win because other decks were winning.
Mm-hmm. Well, right up at the end, right before rotation, Scapeshift really did take off a little bit. And then, you know, then rotation happened, and they're like, oh, wait, Field of the Dead is still bonkers with Golos, so... Hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, Wizards has to do something right now because the goodwill that they generated with the standard meta and arena is being lost.
Yeah, it got turned into an elk.
You know, and I do think it is a design team problem. I think Mark Rosewater has to come out and be like, you know, mea culpa. I'm sorry. This is our bad. Yeah. We didn't even think about
it. He's not
really
play design, though.
No, I know. He's just... The problem is that it is obviously a bad deck. Oko's a bad card. I think if you didn't have an Oko, all right, you get control back. You get aggro back.
Yeah.
And all the black, I mean, mono black aggro could be a real deck.
I'm okay ramping into Nissa, even though Nissa's like the next most powerful card, especially in that shell. Nissa's really nasty.
Yeah.
But I feel like in a sense it's a little bit easier to deal with her in a way, even though it's not in a sense because she comes down a little later. I guess is the biggest difference.
She does, but and that's where you know
you can do a turn 3 Nissa with a nuts draw.
Right, but it's
meta warping.
That's really the only way to put it. Oko's meta warping, and so, you know, I think you were reading us something earlier, like you know the last standard season, you know, was an accident.
Some people are. I don't remember who it was that said it, but there was a tweet that someone said that basically the gist of it was, I wonder if the last standard season that we had last year was just a mistake. And I remember us talking on the podcast earlier in the year about how it was like how when Modern was healthy, how it was like there's like literally 15 different decks you could play. They all have a shot to win. And now it's like there was another subreddit that I was reading on the Spikes subreddit, one of the threads on there, saying how it's reminding them of Mirrodin era Affinity, where you're either playing Affinity or you're playing decks that have hate in them to fight Affinity, but you're still losing to Affinity because it's that powerful. I mean, it's Skull Clamp all over again.
Skull Clamp was annoying.
And this is scary. I mean, I remember last week I was saying some people were basically saying that Oko was the best 3-mana Planeswalker ever printed. I mean, this is adding to that argument.
It really is. And it is. It's a scare because they have so much invested in Arena. And they have so much invested in Standard in Arena. Like, we'll talk about this in Main 2, but the Brawl event only being on certain days...
One day a week.
Kind of shows that they really want us to be playing Standard in Arena. I'm not... You know what? I don't like it. It's not my cup of tea. It doesn't make me happy that they're doing it that way, but I can see it, mm-hmm. and I understand the point. So, but in that, if that's the case, then you have to fix Standard. You have to.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's... I don't think it's enough to do what you did when Nexus of Fate was breaking Arena. where, hey, we're just going to ban this in Arena for best of one. Because Oko best of one in Arena is...
You got no chance.
You have none. Zero. There's no
sideboard. They need to get either... They need to get mana screwed, or they need to just never see Oko, which they're going to mulligan any hand that doesn't have Oko.
Right. I mulligan any hand. I've been playing it. I've been playing Ban Ramp on Arena because I'm trying to level up, and really, it's an assured way to level up. I mean, my deck is 61% right now because it just is. But the fact is, you know, I will mulligan if I unless I see either two lands in Once Upon a Time or three lands in an Oko. You know, Once Upon a Time fixes everything. Yeah. I love that card.
I mean, if you go
that
like
that's amazing.
Yeah, if your hand is Forest Island Goose Oko, you're like, I don't care, keep.
Yep. And that's just it. We need to do, you know, they need to do something because it is obviously the green in the color wheel this year. I mean, and here's the thing. I listened to Rosewater's podcast, and he talks about how he really tries very hard to make sure that the color wheel is stable and that there's not one color overpowering another. You done screwed up. You missed it this time. Green is overpowered.
It is funny, though, because it's really... the opposite end of the spectrum, because I think up at this point last year, green was terrible.
Oh, it was awful.
Green was real bad, and now all of a sudden
and it was
just
red
like,
all day.
It's just crushing everything, and it, I there's a bad.
It's been coming. It was coming with War of the Spark. You could start to kind of. Yeah. Anyway, I think we talked about it that you were starting to see more of it in War of the Spark.
They had been pushing it like because they tried like, you know, Galta, big huge fatty yep. could make him real cheap. Deck really wasn't there, you know. The Steely, was it Paladin? Not Paladin.
Steely Champion.
Thank you. Great 3-drop for green. You know, a lot of this stuff rotated out. They tried Gigantosaur, 10/10 for 5, whatever.
Nobody cares because it's like you have to play mono green.
And they kept pushing and pushing.
Mono green Stompy was getting crushed.
Yeah, they kept pushing and pushing, and then they started putting it into Planeswalkers. Nissa was the first indication that they were really onto something, and then I mean, yeah, okay, Oko Simic, I get it, but he's green.
He's green. And that's just it. So, I mean, and I don't think anybody... I know there are people out there that disagree about Oko, and they're like, well, you should plan for it. You should build a deck to fight it. And this is what it is, and just...
People
You know,
are.
Go roll with they, it, blah, blah, blah.
People are.
I know. And here's the deal. I understand that every time that there's a powerful card, there are people going to call for a ban. When Teferi came out in Dominaria, it was almost immediate. When freaking the Goblin Chain Whirler, there were cries for that to get banned for almost a year. I mean, and the meta, you know, shifted and it helped and it stabilized and then after a while nobody did. And at no point did I say Chain Whirler or Teferi should be banned. However, all right, this is not that. Mm-hmm. This is an example of a card that is a meta warp. It is an Aetherworks Marvel. It is a Saheeli and Feldar combo.
Feldar Guardian.
It is.
It's Ravager Affinity. Ravager Affinity.
It is. It's that bad. And yes, I know that when they went to ban Saheeli, they first banned Feldar. You know, they danced around these cards because Saheeli was a fake. And this is just it. I'm going to tell you right now, they're not going to ban Oko. In November, at the BNR, they will not ban Oko. Mm. Oko is a face of this set. He is 100% a part of this set, and he's on their marketing materials. He is a face, known Planeswalker, big part of the story. They will not ban him right now. They will ban around him. I foresee probably Nissa trying to say that we're going to try to kill the ramp, and probably the goose.
Yeah, but you still got Arboreal Grazer and Once Upon a Time.
Exactly. They're not going to do it. It won't work. And then come December, right before Theros, they'll ban Oko.
It's very reminiscent of Hogak, in that the obvious linchpin of the deck is Oko. The obvious problem card is Oko, but they're going to dance around, you know, Hogak. And ban, you know, Bridge from Below. They're going to ban these other cards. And, oh, it's still going off? Huh. I didn't think that would happen. Okay, fine. We'll ban him. If they really were looking out for the health of Standard, they really wanted to help keep Arena, because I can probably assure you that there's a lot of people who aren't playing right now because they're like, I don't want to play against Oko all day. I mean,
right?
They have to. When is the next announcement? Like in what, 2.5-3 weeks?
Yep.
If they're smart, they'll ban Oko, or they'll ban multiple pieces of ramp to try to keep it in check.
Do we know what the format is going to be for the player championship?
Well, for the world championship?
Yeah.
It's going to be multiple formats, I think. I think there's going to be like a limited portion, I think a modern portion, and I think standard. I'm not sure, though.
Because that would be the only thing that I could see them doing something about, mm-hmm. is, you know, I could see them doing something with saying, okay, we have to do a ban on Oko somehow because Oko is going to destroy the players' champion or the world championships. And that's in December, right?
No. Well, Mythic Championship 6 is a paper tournament. That's going to be standard. That's in November, but that's before the next BNR.
Right.
No, that's November 8th to the 10th. The next BNR, I think, is on the 18th.
It is.
So we're going to go through Mythic Championship 6 with this standard format. Which is not going to be good for coverage. Mythic Championship 7 is Arena. That's traditional standard best of three. That's December 6th through the 8th. So they could ban Oko after Mythic Championship 6, which if Oko is, you know, 45% of the metagame, which is I think what it looks like right now. Let me see what MTG Goldfish says. Just,
I don't think they'll ban. Here's the thing. My thinking is this: and the players, the World Championships, did they move that to they moved that to February, didn't they?
I'm looking. It's not in 2019, that's for sure.
Then yeah, it got moved. I seem to remember when they were doing something saying about the season they were going to move the World Championships.
Yeah.
So I mean, so the heat's off a little bit because if the World Championships were in December like they usually are, I would have said okay, 100%. They're going to ban Oko because you can't have a world championship with this level of deck. I mean, everybody's going to play it. Everybody remembers the Hazoret years.
Right.
So, but if they moved it to February, yeah, so here's what's going to happen. I think in November they're going to ban Nissa. Maybe even, I could see them going Hydroid. Like, you know, because Hydroid gets you life.
Right.
They may not want to do the goose because the goose is in the latest set.
They won't ban Hydroid Krasis. Hydroid Krasis is an end game thing. I mean, if you hit a Krasis for less than 6, you're not really getting much.
Right.
I mean, Krasis for 4, okay, you draw two, gain 2, get a 4/4.
They did
flying
Bridge
trample.
From Below, though. Don't tell me they can't.
Well,
man.
Bridge
that
from
was, that was the most.
The problem with Bridge from Below is that it's a free card. You don't actually cast the card. You never cast Bridge from Below. With Hydroid Krasis, you have to cast it to get any value out of it.
Right, but I'm just saying that I could see Wizards getting rid of those two big pieces and leaving Oko alone.
Yeah.
Maybe, or the Goose. They'll do the Goose and they'll do a two, or they'll do the Goose and they'll do Nissa. I think Nissa is almost a guarantee. I think they have to do Nissa, which sucks because Nissa is a great card without Oko. And it's a hard card to get out and it's a fun card to play and it really changes decks and makes decks powerful.
So,
but
I think looking at the numbers right now, it has to be Oko because between 45% and 50% of the meta is playing Oko main.
I get it.
That's
but they ain't gonna do it.
They should.
I guarantee you, it's a face card.
It is. It's absolutely a face card.
And because the price is so high.
Oh, there's no secondary.
That what'll happen is
there's no secondary market.
Yeah, they say that.
There's no secondary market.
I know. They say that, but the truth is we all know there's a secondary market.
Yeah, but, you know, they're obligated to not acknowledge the existence of said secondary market. It exists, but
right.
It doesn't. It's like a shadow realm.
It's not only that, though. From a business decision, think about it. When you have a card like Oko, from a WotC perspective, how many more boxes are they selling?
Oh, I'm sure they're selling tons of boxes. I'm sure they're selling out like crazy. But here's the thing. Even if they ban it in Standard, still gonna be legal in Pioneer. Still gonna be landed.
Yeah, but nobody's gonna buy it. Nobody's gonna buy a box like that. Like, I mean, you and I have gotten our hands on what, 2 boxes a piece. Mm-hmm. I gotta be honest with you. There's a part of me that's thinking about getting a third.
I'm not buying another
just box. To see if I pull one.
I'm not gonna buy another box. I'll buy.
I won't either.
Yeah, if it gets to the point where I need to buy Okos, I'll figure it out. But I don't see it lasting past Mythic Championship 6.
I think the ban is going to be the ban hammer when it falls is going to go on Nissa for I think they're going to ban around it. I really do. It's a Mythic face card.
Well, here's
it's
this,
on the box.
Here's the set. Well, actually
I know she's Rowan's not Rowan's on the box, but
here's the thing. How sad is it that they had to one emergency ban Field of the Dead, and we're still talking about bans in Standard? When's the last time we had to worry about multiple rounds of bannings in Standard? Like within 2 months of each other.
That's really good, actually, because what you just did was, you know,
combat phase.
You actually just moved us right into combat. That was a beautiful way you did that there.
You're welcome.
Because, you know, we're going to talk about that a little bit in that our combat today, and this is why I did it now, is that we're talking about Field of the Dead. He brought it up in the band. And the question I have, and it was asked, I forget where I heard it from, but basically it was asked, basically, was Field of the Dead holding Oko in check? So is Standard worse off now that they've banned it?
I mean,
and it's an interesting question to ask because I don't know that I know the answer. I know my initial answer would be hell yes.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at basically how Oko's asserted itself, after, you know, to fill the void of Field of the Dead, then you can say yes, of course. But we don't know for sure, and there's really no way to know for sure if Field of the Dead was actually what was keeping it in check. I mean, in a sense, you could say yes because Oko couldn't interact as well with Field of the Dead. Like, you know, he shuts off Golos, but he doesn't do anything about the zombie tokens.
Exactly.
So, I mean, if you look at it that way, sure.
He doesn't shut off the zombie tokens and the zombies can kill
but,
him.
But he, it basically, if everyone's focusing their attention on Field of the Dead, and Field of the Dead's good against Oko, that's tough.
Yeah, because this is what I mean. This is a great combat.
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, I'm beginning to think they did. I think they reacted too strongly to Field of the Dead.
I think they should have banned them both.
Well, yeah, everybody thinks they should have banned them both. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I think banning Field of the Dead, basically killing that deck. Don't get me wrong. I'm playing with Golos still. I jammed him into a Guildgate deck. We talked about it earlier. And it's not a horrible deck. And it might be Tier 2. And, you know, I might win a few games with it. But it was, I do believe, I think Field of the Dead was not only, it's kind of like having Oko out and not really playing with him much. Mm-hmm. Like, I do play Oko occasionally, and the only reason he's out there is to be like, I need you to hit him and not me for a while. Mm-hmm. I did the same thing with Teferi where every once in a while. I'm like, I'm really getting no value from Teferi being out there other than it's scaring the hell out of you, and you're just going to keep hitting him and give me time to stabilize.
Yeah, I thinking about it now, Wizards really had no choice.
Oh, of course not.
Because if you think about it, if they don't emergency ban, we're dealing with Field of the Dead for another 2 months. And if they don't ban both, again, it's still a broken format. It's broken either way. So it's just they painted themselves into such a corner with these two cards that I guess they decided that this was the lesser of two evils.
I don't think they were ready for Oko yet. I mean, if people were talking about it. The pros were talking about it 3 or 4 days before the ban. But I don't think Wizards was, I don't think it was on the radar. I really don't.
They obviously pushed it. I mean, 3-mana Walker, right. Obviously they're going to push it. And I remember when it was first previewed, people were like, it seems okay.
Yeah, we were all like,
And it's like, you know, some people were like, I'm sure it's got potential somewhere. I mean, it depends on how, you know, good the food mechanic is, blah, blah, blah. And then people started really thinking about the card, and then they saw it in action, and they realized, oh, this has got all kinds of potential. Like, in Limited, it's disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
It's disgusting in Limited. If you can't kill it, you lose. If you don't kill it in Constructed, you lose. But it really, the speed at which, and again, we can thank the fact that these sets come out a week early on Arena for this, the speed at which people have adapted and changed and optimized their lists to build around Oko, and just the absolute dominance that it has right now. I mean, we're right back where we were a month ago with Field of the Dead. It's everywhere. It's half the meta. You're playing you're playing with it or you're playing to beat it. And if you're playing to beat it, you're probably still losing. They need to ban Oko. I mean, they have to.
Yeah. I think if they had kept Field of the Dead around for another cycle,
it would have been a dead standard.
I think we're moving towards a dead standard now.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, they're looking stuck.
Yeah, I mean it is a really tough. It's a really tough standard right now.
Yeah.
And I mean, I do. I mean, it's kind of what we're getting what we've wanted. How many times have we all said we want more power? Raise the power level. Like, you know, you get a deck like Amonkhet, which looked like a weaker. It was a weaker. Or Ixalan would be a prime example. Ixalan was a weak power set. It just had no real ultimate power to it. Now, Rivals had a little bit more.
Rivals had much less than regular Ixalan, because Ixalan had Search for Ascanta.
True. Well, no, that's...
And Vraska's...
When I say power, though, I'm not talking just... I'm also talking, like, in-your-face, raw, breaking meta power. Now, Search for Ascanta was played in any blue deck, but... And, I mean, it's going to get played in Pioneer because it's in my Sultai Energy deck. This is stupid.
It still sees play in Vintage.
Yeah. And, I mean, it is going into my... Like, I'm loving that about Pioneer. But the point I'm making here is that, you know, like, Ixalan was pretty weak. Mm-hmm. It was tribal. It was, you know, yeah, there was a lot of synergy. And if you synergized right, then you had a powerful deck. But if you didn't get your pieces, then, you know, it wasn't powerful on its own.
Right.
And then we moved towards, you know, Dominaria was the first time with the legendaries and all that where we started to see a power creep. And you get a Teferi, and you get these the planeswalkers and stuff that did things, and Dominaria had a, you know, History of Benalia was a powerful card, and you start seeing the Benalish Marshal, and you see the creep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, you move into guilds, and now all of a sudden the power creep is a little more evident. War of the Spark, it explodes, you know, and Core 2020, all over the walls, and, you know, then this here. I think it's been a thing.
Yeah.
It's been, power has been increasing. And I think Arena has a lot to do with that. I think if you're playing best of one, they want the power, you want power cards.
Yeah.
You know, best of three, you don't necessarily want Bombad power because you want to win quickly so that, you know, you sideboard in your power once you know what you're playing against.
Yeah. Like, I was looking back and Ixalan. Probably the biggest, like, in-your-face power card in that set was Carnage Tyrant.
Yeah.
And
Carnage Tyrant warped the meta for a
Carnage
while.
Carnage Tyrant was a beast, I mean, and it was green. But not many people were playing green at that point. I mean, they certainly weren't playing Dinosaur Tribal. They were playing him just to say, you know what, this is a big, nasty threat that you can't kill, and if I can drop him down, you're going to die. Rivals of Ixalan had Rekindling Phoenix, and that was about it.
And then Dominaria just
Dominaria had a bunch of stuff, and then, like you said, you know, Ravnica had a bunch of stuff, War of the Spark had a bunch of stuff. Core 2020 was probably the best core set we've ever had since they changed them to core sets. And then, you know, obviously, you know, Eldraine, we have our Lord and Master Oko. So again, like I'm saying, Wizards is in a real tough spot here because nothing they were going to do with the emergency ban was going to make anybody happy. If they,
right.
Because like you said, they couldn't ban Oko then for sure because the format was literally 2 weeks old.
Right.
Even though we all saw it coming. And
I still don't think they did.
I don't think they did, but everybody else did. Everybody outside of Wizards knew that Oko-toberfest, as I've seen it been called, or Elk-toberfest, was on the horizon. And we are basically in for our worst standard since either Affinity or Eldrazi or Necro. I mean, this is going to be one of those standard formats that people look back on and say, yeah, I remember a bunch of my friends quitting Magic over this.
And that's what I think you're going to see happening, is that people aren't playing Arena as much. Not only that, but I mean, you actually have some competition. Well, again, we'll talk about it in Main 2. But the fact that Pioneer is in MTG Online only...
Mm-hmm.
Well, even I'm like, I think I'm going to reactivate my online account. We want to start building some Pioneer over there.
Mine's still active, so I mean, I was looking to see what kind of cards I had, so I was like, oh.
Me too. It's like, because Standard's no fun. I'm laddering, and I'm using Oko to do it. And sure, I mean, like I said, I'm at about a 55, 56% win rate, which is what you want when you're playing BO1. So I'm doing okay, but it's not fun. You know, Brawl was fun. Yeah. Brawl was a whole lot of fun.
That's something else I don't understand, how they only have Brawl being one day a week.
Right.
That doesn't make any
sense. Well, I mean, so as far as combat, I mean, I do think Field of the Dead was holding Oko in check, and I think Standard's worse off after the banning. I do.
Yeah, but there was no good...
You didn't take them both out.
Yeah, but there was no good answer here. It was basically, all right, you've got stage 4 lung cancer and stage 4 liver cancer. Which do we cut out? We only can only cut out one. You're still going to have stage 4 cancer. You're still going to die. Which one would you rather have?
Well, and that's just it. I don't know that they, you know, maybe if they had banned Golos instead, and yes, okay, Yarok would have come out of the woodwork and everybody would have played him.
Yeah, because, well, here's the thing. You could have done Yarok, Field of the Dead, and Oko at the same friggin' time.
But they just, it is what it is. And this is where we're at. So yep. I'm not sure who won combat here, but I mean, I do think we are a little bit worse off. I think I think banning Field of the Dead without banning Oko has resulted in an incredible power shift. And it sucks. And it's not fun, but it is what it is.
I'll say this. Neither one of us won. Everybody lost right now with the way Standard is. And they need to fix it. And I know, look, we bash on Wizards all the time for stupid stuff that they do. I mean, granted, it's because they keep doing stupid stuff. But they'll fix it.
I think so, too, but I don't think they'll do it right away. I think November, maybe not. Like I said, November will not see Oko. This will be our combat, because I'm telling you, November will not see
Oko. Well, let's circle the calendar. We'll lay it on the law right now. Do you think Oko will be banned with the next BNR?
No.
Okay, I think...
Absolutely not.
I think it will. So there we go.
There we go. And I think... Man, I almost want to put stakes on this. I almost want to find a way to put some stakes
If you lose, you have to burn your Oko on camera.
No.
Okay, fine.
But no, I don't believe. No, I don't think Oko is going to be burnt. We'll figure some stakes though. Hey, listeners, if you got ideas, but because this seems like a bet, because I'm pretty sure I can bet on this that they will not ban Oko.
I think it's
they will ban around it. They will ban in the deck. Yeah. I'm not saying that, but Oko will not get banned.
I'd say it's a lot closer to 50-50 than you think. But I at the same time, I like you've been saying, I would not be surprised if they tried to pick around and beat around the bush instead of actually going for the throat. So
it's their way of doing things.
They've done it so many times before. They did it with Hogak. They've done it with other big decks. I wouldn't be surprised if they did it again. But at the same time, if they're smart and they want the health of Standard to be there for Arena and for the future of that, you know, cash cow or cash elk, I guess at this point, they'll ban Oko.
Yeah. Well, so I guess we kind of snarfed a little bit there, but let's go ahead and...
Main phase.
Let's shift gears, because I'm done talking about Oko tonight, because, again, dead horse.
Uh-oh.
But this weekend, I don't know, did you get to play this weekend?
I played the Brawl event.
That's what I'm saying. Arena had the Brawl event this weekend, which is Constructed Brawl. And for those of you who aren't familiar, first of all, how dare you? But second of all... Brawl is it's Diet Commander is the best way to put it. You choose a legendary standard legal card, creature.
Or Planeswalker.
And it is your commander. And then you can build a 60-card deck, 59 other cards, around that card. It has to have the same color as any colors printed on the card. So, like, if you used Golos, you could build a 5-color commander because all 5 colors are printed on it. And so, or actually, Kenrith is a better 5-color, but any of it.
Either way.
So you build that around. It's a best of one, and then you end up playing somebody else. You can recast your commander anytime it's killed for 2 extra mana, colorless.
Per time it's killed.
So it's a fun format, and it's a fun, interesting way to play. I had a blast doing it. I learned a lot. I thought Niv-Mizzet would be one of the best commanders out there, and yeah, it just got rolled. like religiously got rolled. Kenrith did pretty well for me, but I didn't really figure out the code on that deck. You know, I ended up playing an Oko commander, mm-hmm. and I was having a little fun with that. So, you know, what about you? What were you playing?
Oko. And I went
all Oko all the time,
undefeated. Like there were it was stupid. There were games that I was sure I was losing, and Oko was just like, yeah, no, these are all Elks, and oh, that's a Spark double. He's an Oko too, so yeah, now there's two Okos, and all your guys are Elks. I have a bunch of Elks on my side. Oh, your commander's an Elk. Oh, you scooped. Why'd you scoop? There's so many creatures on the board.
I played a lot of I had a little fun. I did create a Torbern deck, because once I won my five with Oko, mm-hmm. then I started getting creative, because I'm like, this is boring as hell. So I started creating other commanders to play around. I created a Torbern deck. I love Torbern. I think he's one of my favorite cards in this set, just because of the two extra damage on everything. And if you're playing a Cavalcade deck, you're getting slipped for four. And then if you're playing a whatever you call it there, the Scorch Spitter.
Yeah.
He's hitting for it's like,
yeah,
this is kind of fun.
You know, and I mean, we got to go back to the horse. They need to ban Oko and Brawl.
Well, yeah, that's
oh my God, they messed up so bad. And I am sorry.
Oko is Brawl Chief of a Compliance, yeah. And that killed Brawl for 2 years.
And he's going to kill it again.
Yep. If they don't get rid of Oko, we're going to have a serious problem, because it's going to be the same thing that happened with Brawl.
I feel so bad, because Brawl, although there is this is sort of like a hidden feature. I just found out about this. You can play Historic Brawl. If you do Direct Challenge, you can play Historic.
Which we could do.
You can play Historic Brawl, which means, remember I was lamenting not being able to play Muldrotha as a commander?
You could play Muldrotha.
I can play Muldrotha.
So we could that could be a stream we do some night.
Okay.
So, because we should do that a little more often. But I had a blast with it,
that
and it
fun.
Sucks. Now here's what's going on: is that it's only available through Arena queues. It's only available on Wednesdays,
which is stupid.
It is ridiculously stupid, and I saw somewhere on Facebook somebody was saying that Wizards had a survey out about it. But it didn't say Wizards in the survey, so I'm kind of like, I'm not answering this because this seems a little
sketchy. Here's what I don't get. Arena, true or false, is based around Standard.
Yes.
Brawl is based around Standard, true or false.
Yes.
Both of these are rotating formats.
Yes.
Arena, whatever. You know, it's all baked into this. So why... If you're playing Brawl or you're playing Standard, you're still opening packs which have Standard cards which you need for your Brawl or Standard decks. So why on earth would you have a format that people have been saying, we want support for this, please give us support for this, we will play this if you let us. Why would you only do it one day a week?
Right.
What? Why?
I cannot give you a reason. I don't understand it.
Asinine. The system, the client can obviously handle multiple formats being open at the same time.
I will say that I saw performance issues when the Brawl event kicked off.
There have been performance issues with this for the last couple of months anyway.
Right. But this one, I'm saying like I was seeing disconnects, and I rarely do.
Yeah, I was having
okay, I can understand this.
My mouse was jumping around too and then not working the way it was supposed to, and I was having some connection. I was never disconnected, but there were times where I was like lagging badly, and... On that, I say, bad move, Wizards. I mean, come on.
Kill the pets.
We're out of beta.
Yeah.
I don't care if you kill the pets or not. We're out of beta. You should have had this stuff figured out before you left beta.
Exactly. And, I mean, I'm sure that the Brawl mechanic and the coding for it is a little... But, and that if that's the reason they're only doing it one day a week, is that they're like, okay, we and they chose a day of the week that doesn't get a lot of play, like not on a weekend... I can understand it. Like, if Brawl causes performance issues on the servers right now, okay. You know what? That's a fair compromise. But I'm going to tell you this. Come out and tell us that's why.
Yeah, and then and also, too, again, then you should have stayed in beta and figured it out. Because...
Beta doesn't matter. They've been out of beta far longer than they said.
But even still, they should have figured this out in the closed beta.
Yes.
Because here's the whole thing. You want these formats to be playable. This is not the time to be squashing bugs. This is the time where you should be advertising to all your clients and potential customers saying, look, here's Arena. Look how shiny and smooth the client runs. It has all these formats. Here's Brawl. Here's Historic. Oh, never mind. Here's Standard.
Never pay no attention to that.
I mean, I understand that it takes a lot of man hours, a lot of work to debug and to make sure that things are running smoothly, to make sure that your servers can handle the stress and all of that. But there's a time to do that, and they had that time, and they didn't do it. I mean, I'm okay with not having a friends list right now. I'm okay with not having any historic support, which, you know, the format's dead, but whatever. I'm okay with, you know, certain things not being there that I think should probably be there, like chat or whatever. Or 8-person drafts.
All right.
Make the two biggest things that revolve around your basically whole business model with this program work smoothly before you leave beta, which is Standard and Brawl. I think those are more important than Limited because obviously, you know, bot draft, it's a completely different format than paper draft. If you're drafting in Throne of Eldraine on Arena right now, you're seeing mill decks all over the place because the bots aren't picking the Merfolk Secret Keepers for whatever reason, and there's just, you can get like 4 or 5 in a deck. In paper draft, it doesn't work that way. But there's no reason that I can think of logically that they wouldn't have squished these bugs. I don't care about flashy animations and stuff right now. Make sure everything runs the way it's supposed to. You can update that stuff later. Make everything run smoothly on the base level first so it can handle the stress of the game itself, which is obviously a lot of programming because all these interactions with all these different cards. And that I think is the most aggravating thing for me is the fact that they haven't gotten these performance issues figured out, but they're still trying to throw in all these bells and whistles first.
You're not wrong. And I think that's a major problem that they're having right now is that, you know, I think you hit it right on the head. I think all the cool little animations,
which are great.
Yeah, they are. But I think they could be slowing stuff down. And so don't have, like, honestly, what they should do is be like, listen, we're gonna simplify this a little bit. We're going to take this back to, it's going to look almost like MTGO for a bit as far as minimize the interface and then build it back up,
mm-hmm.
you know. But we want playability to be key.
Yeah, because don't get me wrong, I love that little sadistic giggle that you hear from the gingerbread when you play him. I think it's adorable. I think it's great. I think it's fantastic. But I shouldn't have my mouse jump across the screen 6 different times when I'm trying to click declare attackers because it's saying, oh, that giggle just caused the whole program to go bonkers.
Yeah. So, I mean, Brawl was fun.
It was great.
It really was, and I want to see more of it. But then we want to pivot real quick because we're down to our last 10 minutes or so. I want to talk about Pioneer.
Yes.
It's been a week. It's been incredibly exciting. I am on board with this set, with this format. I am all about this format. I've went back into my paper cards, and I still can't find my Ether Hubs. I'm having a problem with that. I've got 4 Ether Hubs. I know it. I just got to try to find them. But I found almost all of the cards I need to rebuild Team or Energy.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what I want to build for that yet because, I mean, my collection only goes back realistically to
Amonkhet.
Kind of Amonkhet, kind of Hour of Devastation, but really only like Ixalan. So I'm going to have to buy a bunch of stuff from, you know, Return to Ravnica and up, depending on what I want to play. So I'm kind of waiting to see what that first big tournament does. Because there's no point in me trying to brew because I don't have the cards.
Right. And I do. I mean, I started playing right around Innistrad. Battle for Zendikar is the first set I rebought into, and I did get a box of Origins. When I say a box, I mean a bundle.
So you have a ways to go back too, but not quite as far.
Yeah, not quite as far. So I've got cards, though, and then I can kind of put together.
I tell you what, though.
I even have an Aetherworks Marvel. I'm like, oh, I'm jamming this until you kill it.
I tell you what, though, I'm very glad that I made the investment and got all the Shocklands.
Oh, yeah, the Shocklands are key. If you have it, and I said this to the students today, I'm like, guys, listen, if you're going to buy anything, buy Shocklands.
Buy dual lands. Buy all the dual lands. Go back to, you know, Get the lands from Kaladesh. Get the cycling lands from Amonkhet. Get the lands from get the rest of the temples.
Yep.
I think there's some.
Well, there's also like the there's the reverse check lands. Like this comes in tap if you have two or less lands.
Yeah. The we get the allied color, but not the.
Yeah.
We get the allied color ones.
It doesn't matter. Get the lands.
Yeah.
Get all the lands you possibly can. Which is key. I mean, I've been playing around with my build.
Just don't get the
fix. Yeah, I'm excited. And I mean, I'm excited. Like, I started to rebuild the Teemer energy like it was in Standard. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, well, wait a second. Search for Iskanta. Ooh.
You know what you could...
You know, and then you start thinking, like, cards that could go into this from other sets.
You know what we could like try to build? What about God Pharaoh's Gift?
I thought about it.
You I'm know, not, there's
that,
some...
That might be number two.
There's some tasty options that could go in the graveyard
There are
for
some
that.
Very tasty options with that. And tasty options that where we said things like, God, if God Pharaoh's Gift was around now, when, you know, like, what do you call it? The Guild of Ravnica came out, there were some little fun gems. So, I mean, there's so much to do.
It's wide open.
And the fact that it is so limited to 20... And it seems like a long time ago. You're like, return to Ravnica. Like 2011, it's 8 years. It's like, it's only 8 years. It's like, and then when I think about the fact that I've been playing this now for about 4 years since I've been back, or 5 years, and I'm like, I've got most of these, at least some of most of these cards. Mm-hmm. I can do something. You can be competitive. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love. And you know what? Yeah, Modern, when it was first created, was designed to let you play the cards that rotate out of Standard. Nobody can do that. Teemer energy decks did not become a Modern staple when they became, you know, when they came out, because holy crap, you can't compete with Dredge and five color humans and Tron. You're just not going to compete.
Yeah, you know, Grizzlebrand and all that nonsense.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I like the fact that they haven't. I mean, in one ways I like it, in some ways I don't. I love the fact that they have. They said it's only regular sets, supplemental sets, Modern Masters, Iconic Masters, no go. Like, I didn't know that at that time.
Yeah, like Modern
but
Horizons
they're not
stuff.
Modern Masters is not in there. Modern Horizons is not in there. Like, that's great, because a lot of people I've been talking to about Modern, they're like, Modern Horizons may have ruined Modern. Like, they're not enjoying it as much. You know, it's like, how can you? And I think what's going to happen here is, I think Pioneer is going to become what Modern is now. And I think Modern now is going to become what Legacy is now.
Well, what I like about
it... Then I think Legacy is going to be Vintage, and I think Vintage is going to be just dead.
Vintage is kind of already dead, but anyway.
Yeah.
What I like about it for me personally is that I wanted to get into Modern. Mm-hmm. I did. Because it's a huge format, it's immensely popular... And the biggest draw for these Eternal formats is that you can have a pet deck and keep it forever. You know, if you like playing Control or a certain archetype or a certain type of deck, you could build it and it's legal forever. And, you know, the only hope is whether or not it actually stays good, but who cares?
Or banned.
Or banned.
I mean, because they do ban a little. They're going to. Yeah. And I mean, Wizards has come out and said they're going to be a little aggressive with the bannings, which I'm fine with right now. I mean, yeah.
Oh, go.
They're going to ban Aetherworks Marvel.
Probably.
They're probably going to ban Sahelian Feldar. They're going to ban the stuff that was breaking, you know, the format.
Smuggler's Copter?
Maybe.
Huh? Smuggler's Copter?
Probably. But then again, it's a larger... There's a lot more ways to interact with it.
Yeah.
In Pioneer.
And that's the thing, too. It's the Wild West right now.
Yeah. Which is why I'm excited about building energy. I mean, I am going to build an energy deck. Mm. And I'm going to probably have it Friday night to see if anybody's there. Got a Pioneer deck. Do we want to throw and see how it goes? But, yeah, maybe I will build it. Maybe you should build a God Pharaoh's Gift deck.
I'd want to have the cards going far back, though. I'd want to have, like, the blue-white temples. And.
But you start small.
Yeah.
You know, you get something put together that we can kind of screw around with. I want a few more cards for that set. I mean, and we even got an email from Jamie today about this. He was talking, you know, he said a few, break down over a few shows. We'll break the top part down later on. But he did ask about the LGS owners and bigger online MTG retailers posting screenshots of orders for Pioneer staples that were bought out before Pioneer was announced.
Yeah, I heard about that.
An order was shared where somebody bought all the Aetherworks Marvels, Kaladesh Saheelis, Flip Jaces, etc. Yeah, I read about that too. I heard about it. Listen, sometimes I watch Magic Historian, and I mean, I'm not a terribly big fan of that guy. I think he's a little too negative for my taste. He tends to find the biggest things to bitch about and goes to town on it. Decent guy, but it's just like, you know, there's only so much negativity I can take in my life. But he did bring this up, and it looks a little damning, and that people were going in 2 days before the Pioneer announcement and buying out all this stuff.
Yeah, it was definitely insider trading. That's what it looks like.
And, I mean, his theory was the judges, you know, like judges went and did it. I don't know about that. Mm. I think there was a WPN leak I heard. There was a few other places where, you know, they kind of let the cat a little bit out of the bag. It sucks. It happens.
Yep.
It happens a lot. You know, it happens. It happens every time. You know, what are you going to do?
Yeah. It's a shame. Yeah. And it shouldn't happen. It's a shame that it does.
It happens when modern masters are getting reprinted. And if somebody gets an early list and they dump off, you know, a card, like say if we find out that Zendikar is going to have fetch lands,
mm-hmm.
You're going to see a major run where everybody's going to dump their fetch lands.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't you? Dump them for 100, buy them back for 25 or 50. You made, you know, that's what's going to... It happens every time.
Yeah,
It's not cool. I don't like it. I wish there was something to do about it.
I'm looking at, you know, Teferi Hero of Dominaria on October 20th. I'm not sure when the announcement actually was for Pioneer.
It was last week sometime. The 21st, yeah.
21st or so? 22nd?
Yeah.
So on October 20th, Teferi was $20. And on the 23rd, I want to say, 24th?
35.
43. So he doubled in price in three days.
Yeah.
So somebody knew.
It's happening. And even if that didn't happen, the retailers obviously also bumped up the market.
Yeah, and the spike, like, once it was announced, the spike was going to happen anyway.
Right.
I think the big gripe is the fact that it happened before people knew about it, because then, you know, you or me would have had the chance to go up and snap up some of these cards at the previous lower price. You know, maybe say 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 bucks. And now right. It's like, well, you want this card? I hope you can shell out 120.
Yeah, it's... And I mean, Aetherworks Marvel is sitting at $5, which I'll probably get one or two, because why not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I really enjoy playing that card. I mean, I really enjoyed playing Energy. It was kind of fun to be kind of a dick.
Right.
You know? And I do have a Felidar Guardian, and I do have Saheelys, and Felidar is sitting at about $20 right now.
Yeah. And it's just, it's funny, because on the 19th, Marvel was $1.40.
Yeah.
On the 20th, it jumped up to $7 or $8 or $9. Just overnight. And it's like the announcement hadn't happened yet. So it sucks that this stuff happens, because, you know, not to bash on the entire MTG Finance community, but the unscrupulous members of the MTG Finance community found out about this and were like, all right, well, we know what we must do. Execute Order 66.
It basically is. And I mean, it's degenerate. Now, yes, they're going to obviously have to ban, probably, they'll probably ban Felidar again, because Saheeli Ray Felidar, it's still going to be an infinite combo that ends the game.
Yeah.
You know, like on turn, what is it, turn four?
Something crazy like that. It's not going to be, they're not going to be dropping the ban hammer on this. They're going to be dropping the ban carpet bomb.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be a lot of things. Odds are good what they're doing right now. I would not be surprised if Wizards is going through and looking through their list, their ban lists on Modern and their ban lists for Standard over the last 15 years, and saying, what do we ban in Standard? Why do we ban it? Is there an answer in other sets that can handle this? Yeah. Like, you banned Aetherworks Marvel and the Thopter because there wasn't an answer in Standard, but there might be in Return to Ravnica.
And they want to see, okay, this stuff was broken before. Okay. Will it be broken again, and how quickly will it be broken?
Hold on a second. Apparently Siri thought I was asking something. Go on now.
So what I was saying was that what they're doing is they're basically looking back and they're saying, okay, what was broken before? Will they break it again? And they don't want to be too preemptive, but at the same time, they're probably sitting there with their finger on the button on certain cards like Felidar Guardian or Aetherworks Marvel, saying, all we need is for one person to sort of say, hey, this is kind of stupid, and they're going to ban it. And
yeah.
Right now, for this format, I'm okay with that. Because
me too.
It, like I said, it's the Wild West, so they got to have somebody sort of, you know, be the sheriff and say, okay, that guy's bad, boom, he's dead. That guy's bad, boom, he's dead. And let the format sort of organically grow. Instead of just...
And that's just it. There are answers for almost anything now. I mean, I'm just sitting here right now. Gideon's Reproach shuts off anything. You can't cast Felidar Guardian. We're not going to let you cast that. You know, on Morty Go. That's just it, because we're going so far back.
Well, Thoughtseize is in the format, so that's a big... That's
Thoughtseize.
A big
help. Oh, I love Thoughtseize. Turn one thought... You know what? Screw... No, I don't love Thoughtseize, because I know you now. Captain Control. Turn one Thoughtseize, turn two Thought Erasure, fuck off.
Yeah, it's gonna be Thoughtseize, Thought Erasure, and then Unmoored Ego. Have a nice day.
Yeah, screw you. So, I if you are not into Pioneer, please write and tell us. Let us know why. I get that, and here's the thing, guys. We are a standard podcast, and I wasn't kidding earlier. Listen, if there are listeners out there who want to make a Planeswalkers Pioneer podcast, I'm all about it. I will let you use the name. I will host you through our anchor and put you through our feed, and we'll create a separate feed for you and build this whole network up, because I think this is a podcast that can happen. I do not have the time to devote to it, but you know, and Aramis might be willing to co-host with you, because apparently he has time. But we would love to have that. I think that's a cast that can and should happen. I think this is going to be a real thing.
Absolutely.
And maybe in time, if Standard slows down, I mean, let me put it this way. If Oko continues, then maybe we will keep a Pioneer portion, because, damn it, there's going to be nothing to talk about in Standard.
Yeah, well, I mean, like... We should keep our finger on the pulse of Pioneer anyway, just because it's going to be relevant. They're giving it the full support. There's going to be MCQs. There's going to be, you know, players' tours.
Exactly.
So there's it's probably going to be part of the World Championship when it happens. So Pioneer's here to stay. I mean, I wish they gave this kind of support to Historic, but that's a whole different thing.
Man, you are just... Man, you... Historic... Man, let it go. It'll come.
I want to play with my rotated cards.
You can in paper. All right, so that's that. Jamie, thanks for writing in. We got to your letter. We'll go to your thing next week, but I guess right now we're a little over, so we should
end step.
So we're at our end step. We had a really good show tonight, guys. I really enjoyed it. You know, and I got a little announcement here, so if you turn it off, usually don't turn it off, because I got an announcement coming up at some point that you're going to want to pay attention to. But as we start picking up our boxes, rolling up our play mats, you know, putting all of our, you know, wrappers in the trash and, you know, recycling our bottles, because, damn it, your mother does not work here. Both Aramis and I want to remind you, we stream Arena on the Planeswalkers Podcast channel on Twitch. Look up Planeswalkers Podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73.
You can also follow me on Twitch at RMACWRX. Gonna try again on Wednesday to stream, but we'll see what happens. But if I do stream, it'll be on Wednesday nights. But if Twitter is more your speed, you can find our show at PlanesTalkerPod on Twitter.
And my personal Twitter that I don't use very much, but you know, damn it, somebody's got to follow B. Arthur, is at WR Benson. And of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just look up Planeswalker Podcast and like and follow the page there. You can go to facebook.com/planeswalkers.
And finally, you can be like Jamie and send us emails and even ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section, where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. And you can also drop us a line just to let us know if you have a suggestion for something for us to talk about, or just, you know, you want to let us know how we're doing. So if you want to send us an email, our address is podcast@planeswalkerspodcast.com.
And now here's our big announcement. Normally I play the music and then we talk about iTunes reviews with the music going, but I'm not going to do that right now because I've got an announcement. I want to entice you guys to leave us some iTunes reviews. So here's what I'm going to do. This here is my promo pack arena code that I got for winning the other week there. I don't need it. I'm not going to use it. So the first five iTunes reviews that come in. All right, so go to iTunes, leave us a review, preferably positive, but I will take negatives and you'll still be entered. The first five iTunes reviews that go in, if you do it before the next show, I will draw for this. and then I will email you the code that's on the back of it. You'll get some arena packs. And so that's, huh?
Well, heck, I can double that up. I have one for 6 packs of Throne of Eldraine.
There you go. And this is for 1 pack. So you will get 7 packs. You have a 1 in 5 chance of, or, well, if we go more than 5, you're all entered. But if at least 5, I need at least 5 reviews. Go on to the podcast, on the Planestalkers on iTunes, and you leave us a review. You leave at least 5. I will send you this. Aramis will send you his 6. You'll get 7 packs from Throne of Eldraine in Arena. So that's why we want to encourage you there. So what you do is you go and look us up in iTunes. Leave us a review. It really does help the show. That's the only reason we're doing it. But for Aramis Perez, my name is Will Benson again. We want to thank you guys for tuning in tonight. We had a blast. We'll be back next Monday night around 7:30, 8 o'clock to talk more about the standard metagame. We'll go over what we did last Friday Night Magic and all sorts of other stuff. But we want to thank you guys for listening. Again, fill out some reviews, and we'll see you next week. For Aramis, this is Will saying, don't forget to always leave some of your mana untapped because you never know when you'll need it. Take care.